Learn the most empowering hiring techniques. Land the most desirable talent. Launch your company towards massive success. This is the Higher Power Radio Show with your host, Rick Gerard.
All right, we all know that core values are powerful, but core values driven by purpose is unstoppable. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into an entrepreneur who has built a business, not just one, but two highly successful businesses, not just by living core values, but trying purpose in the form of giving back and daily routines of the company. And the results have been extraordinary. I'm Rick Gerard. Welcome to the Higher Power Radio Show. We help entrepreneurs and executives win-win the strongest people by sharing insights from top-performing rebel entrepreneurs, game changers, and industry leaders like our guest today, Mr. Jay Wilkinson. Now, Jay is the founder of Firespring, Bloom Growth, and Do More Good. So actually, I said two companies. He's actually heading three. Firespring is a Nebraska-based certified B Corporation featured by Inc. magazine as one of the top 50 places to work in America. His TEDx talk on company culture has more than 1 million views. And currently, Jay leads the Do No More Good movement, which is an organization he founded in 2018 to help save capitalism. That's great work, I'll tell you. Jay appears on CNN and other news outlets discussing the important role that purpose-driven companies play in the U.S. economy, which is what makes Jay the perfect guest for today's topic. Jay, welcome to the Higher Power Radio Show today.
It is an honor and a pleasure to be here with you today, Rick.
I know it's, you know, and I'm excited because I'm back. Like this is, we've been off for about a year underground, basically spending a lot of time getting our software company up and running. And now I get to do this fun thing again, which I totally enjoy. And it brings tons of value to other entrepreneurs. So thank you for being my first guest. So we're going to begin to, as you guys know, who have followed the show in the past, dig into the problem, a solution, and then give you some sort of key takeaways you can plug into your business today. And let's talk about core values and how, to me, core values are how people naturally operate. And then when you put purpose on top of it, it's a glue that cements a person's desire to those core values. And then, of course, that validates the belonging and creates a much stronger bond between employer and employee. Would you agree with that?
1,000%. People want to be part of something that's bigger than themselves. And when the purpose is evident and clear, and on top of that, your values are in alignment with who they aspire to be, everything works.
So very true. So we talked offline and you told me a story about, we always love to talk about either a good or a bad hire. And you had told me about a person you had that like, cornerstone of your business is actually like volunteering, right? That's a huge proponent, like huge thing within your business. We're going to talk about, I'm sure, more. But you had somebody you hired that just wasn't into it, huh?
Yeah, we did. It wasn't that he wasn't into it. It didn't really work. And so just high level, we have this thing at Firespring called the power of three. And it's how we execute on our purpose and our mission. It's where we give 1% of our revenue back to nonprofits we care about, 2% of our products and services given away in kind, and 3% of our people. So it's our profit, our products, and our people given back to the hosts that we serve. And the people component is comprised of volunteering, all of our team members. If you're full-time with the company, and not a contractor, but if you're a full-time employee of the company, you are expected to volunteer 3% of your time. And essentially, if you do the math on that, it adds up to about one full day, 8 hours every month. And our people are expected to go and track it, come back, talk about it with their supervisor. We follow up with our employees and hold them accountable, just like we would a skill or a task that we need them to achieve. And so we've done this for a long time, for 15 years. This has been part of the ethos of our company. And when we gained clarity around our core values, one of our core values that you just mentioned is have each other's back. Our three core values are bring it every day, have each other's back, and give a shit. Those are the three things that we look for in every person that walks through our door. And I remember when this gentleman came into my office and he said, Jay, I've got an issue. I've got a problem because I'm being expected to volunteer and go out, which I'm great with. I love doing that. I love supporting the community, whatever. But he said, I know you tell us that you want us to take time off. We need to during the day to accomplish this. This particular individual had several kids, came from a big family, and he and his wife were really busy trying to just take care of all of their kids at home. So he didn't have time on the weekends or on evenings. So he said, the option I have is to volunteer during work hours. And I said, that's fine. You, of course, you know, it's paid time off. We want you to do that. And he said, but that conflicts with this value of having each other's back. How can I possibly leave the company and go spend a day or just a few hours volunteering, leaving all these projects that my teammates have to have my back around? It's not having their backs if I leave them high and dry. And so we got into a deep conversation about it. And it was really interesting that we got to a point where he was ready to get into this mindset of needing to take time off during the day to volunteer and was ready for it. And then he went off for a few months, did some volunteering, came back. He came back in one day and said, I can't do this. It feels like I'm leaving people. And I totally got it. I understood it completely. We parted ways with him. He's no longer with the company. He's doing amazing things and an amazing human being, but it just wasn't the perfect fit.
Yeah. And that's okay. I love the fact that you guys had the conversation and you worked through it, right?
Yeah.
By the way, thanks for only having three core values and they're real. So many times I sit down with companies, they're like seven core values. They're like, what? Honestly, and they're usually like, integrity, teamwork.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows what any of them mean.
Nobody knows what they mean. You're right.
Exactly.
If you don't know how to live, it's not about you.
So very true. So very true. All right. So it seems to me like, so getting companies running core values is difficult. And then when you tie a purpose to it, it seems like it's a bit more difficult to do. Where would the challenge be there? Was the challenge, I should say.
The challenge in the example I was just sharing was that everybody was right. He was right that if he left work during the middle of the day and had tasks undone, that his coworkers would have to pick up his slack. And he knew the day that he started that this volunteering component was critically important to the way that we operate as an organization, as a company, and it's a mindset that we just hold dear. There was no one that was wrong in this scenario. And aligned with the big picture vision, we are an evergreen company at FireSpring. And what that means to us is that we plan and expect to thrive for 100 or more years. And our company is transitioning to an employee-owned company. Most likely, it will be a perpetual purpose trust following suit to what Patagonia, Yvon Chouinard did with his company.
Yeah.
And so there are lots of people that are part of the organization who understand inherently the value of being here and staying until we make this conversion to a perpetual purpose trust or to an ESOP or whatever channel we end up settling on, because it's going to have tremendous value to their families. And there are people that are conflicted about opportunities that might come before them. And then they think about, do I want to take $3 more an hour to go work over here? Or am I going to stay here where I know I'm treated well and eventually I'm going to have ownership in this company?
Yeah. And that's a super powerful model. You know what I found with ESOPs and companies like that is people take ownership and they're far more protective of the environment and who gets in and who doesn't, which I think, you know, it actually alleviates some of your pain as a leader in that, you know, that everybody's going to be fiercely protective of the culture and the values and the purpose, right?
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
So why has purpose been important to your company?
It got seated in me at a very young age. I got elected to serve on my school's student council in my rural town in Nebraska. And the way that they did it back then, it came from the everybody gets a trophy generation. The way they did it back then is if you put your name on the ballot and you rang, you automatically got elected as long as you got a vote. And so you could vote for yourself, whatever. But in order to serve on the student council the next year, they made you go to leadership class. That's how they weeded out people that, you know, they wouldn't do it. And the options were to go to an eight for every Saturday for like 4 hours a Saturday for 8 consecutive weeks in the middle of the summer to go to leadership class, which sounded like the world's worst penance for whatever crime I might have committed, or to go to this camp, a leadership camp where I would learn leadership skills. Seemed like the lesser of two evils. I went to this camp, and thank goodness I did, because it changed the entire trajectory of my life. I learned about servant leadership, and I learned that all these other kids around me at school actually are probably going through as much, if not way more than I am. And why am I walking around thinking that I'm the only one with problems, not talking to people, not worried about others? I didn't really truly understand the framing of servant leadership until I went to this camp. And I walked away from that with a sign that hung on the wall that my guide, my counselor over the 4.5 days I was there, let me take off the wall. And it was a quote from Stephen Grillet that just spoke to me. So when I was 15, I took this quote off the wall. It's been hanging above my desk or at my home, on my mirror, my entire adult life. And it says, I expect to pass through this world, but once any good, therefore, that I can do or any kindness I can show, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. And I knew that I was naturally wired as an entrepreneur, which simply means I'm unemployable. That's all that it means.
Yeah.
For as many as not, it's more of a rite of passage that makes life difficult for many. But I knew I was wired.
I feel your pain on that one.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what I was going to do yet. And so that ethos was what became the cornerstone of the ethos of FireSpring when I founded it in 1992.
That is so great. Are you listening to the Higher Power Radio Show? For our podcast listeners, we're going to take a quick educational moment from our sponsors. All right, I'm digging in deep with our guest, Jay Wilkinson. Jay is the founder of FireSpring. What was the other company? Because I know you've been...
Bloom Growth
and Do More Good Movement. So we're discussing values driven by purpose, which I think it's like your values on steroids, right? And the power that this has brought to the business. So let's dig into a little bit about, maybe let's start with interviewing. You interview for purpose alignment. And I actually want to start with an interview question, because this is something that I think would be really valuable to anybody. So how do you understand, like, your big thing is giving back time, right? Mm-hmm. And so wouldn't a really good interview question be something like, tell me about the last time you donated your time, right?
Yeah.
That's something, if volunteering is important to your organization, I think that's, I would imagine that's something you guys might ask or you might want to start asking.
Yeah, we definitely do indeed ask about their past in volunteering, how they feel about like a server's mentality, essentially approaching business from the standpoint of a rising tide and lifting up people around me. We ask a lot of things around that. We ask one question specifically that we ask is, can you describe a project or an accomplishment that you consider to be the most significant in your career? We really want to know what they talk about, what motivated them to start it. How did they overcome challenges? What was the impact of this project? It reveals their inherent motivations. It uncovers values and assesses their orientation towards impact and the way that we approach the world. So that's a question that we dig in on.
I love that question, because we ask a similar one to that and really gets to the purpose of the interview too. Since we're talking about purpose, the purpose of the interview for me has always been to understand the truth of the human who's across the desk from you. I don't really want to, I don't want to do a compare and contrast. I don't want to fill my gut with my own personal bias, first impressions or what have you. I want to understand, what is the truth about this person, right?
Absolutely. And what one of the things that it took me way too long to discover is the difference in interviewing somebody whose inherent ability is that of an extrovert that has a high social pattern. We use a tool called Culture Index that really gives us insight into the natural inherent wiring of individuals. So we're going to ask an individual that we're interviewing who's naturally wired as an extrovert different questions than we're going to ask somebody who's naturally wired as an introvert. Because what happened, to me at least, is I would fall in love with all of these extrovert candidates. They were great at selling themselves. That's how they
salespeople are notorious for that, right? Yeah.
How they sell through the world. They're so good at convincing someone to like them because that's how they're wired. Whereas the naturally wired introverts are more contemplative and they take time to respond. And it's easy as an interviewer to fall in love or to fall out of love if you're not really cognizant of those natural inherent traits.
That is such a good point, because what I've experienced is when you fall in love with candidates, you end up hiring sociopaths and narcissists.
It happens, for sure.
And people who have lots and lots of practice interviewing.
Yes, exactly.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But so how have you solved this problem within your organization?
There are a lot of ways that we will ask questions and attract and find our commonalities around core values. And I'd be the last one to tell you that we have it all figured out. We certainly don't. I think the minute anyone thinks they have it all figured out is the moment they begin to die on the vine. And so I'm leaning into all of these things with a learner's mindset rather than a knower's mindset, and understanding that there's so much we have yet to learn and to figure out. But one of the things that's the undercurrent behind all of the things that we do related to hiring and finding great people and building a great culture is this mindset that we'll always be able to find a better way. I mean, no matter how much work we do and how great we become and how masterful we've been at any given discipline or trait or characteristic, it's only a matter of time before somebody comes up with a better way.
Yeah.
And so if you walk around our building, you'll see big banners and signs, and you'll hear people talking about find a better way, find a better way. We talk about it in client projects and internal projects and everything that we do. We actually, something that makes FireSpring really unique is if you go back into the yellow pages to 1888, when Jacob North Printing was created, we later acquired that business. We've actually done 30 acquisitions, and there are now 69 brands that all live under the FireSpring umbrella. We've done over the course of 20 years, we've acquired a lot of companies. And every time we do that, there's this propensity to bring someone in and say, this is the FireSpring way. This is the way we do it. There's a propensity to say that in a way that like kind of locks it down and says, we're not interested in your opinions or your viewpoints. The thing that I'm really proud of is that when we do bring on a new company, and maybe there are 10, 15 new employees that are rolling into our walls, we tell them, hey, if there's anything that we show you, we're going to teach you our ways. But if there's anything that we show you and better way, please speak up. And that is pervasive in everything that we do. And I think the mindset, again, of a learner as opposed to digging in and believing that we've got it all figured out is the fundamental thing that makes everything work.
I would imagine, too, you would probably present it in a way where, and if you just don't resonate with who we are, we'll help you get somewhere else.
Yeah.
Even though they might be critical of the business, I would imagine somebody else will happily step into that role that is being filled if they're not fitting into the values of the company.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. So you know what? You also, like when we had talked about anti-values. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So I feel it's really important to the point that you brought up earlier, Rick, and I think it's really smart, really brilliant to point out that if you cannot understand how to live a value, it's a pointless value. The words like integrity, like you brought up, I see it all over the place. And I think the key to really understanding how to live a value is to give examples, to actually tell stories, to tell value stories.
Yeah.
And part of the value story experience is occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally sprinkling in an anti-value, a story about when someone didn't live up to the core value of the organization. Because we learn as much, if not more, from those stories as we do from the examples of those that are living up. So what we do, we have actually at FireSpring, we have a book called Powered by Purpose. And in it, we recognize 12 new people into our Values Hall of Fame every year. And we publish an annual yearbook and everybody gets a copy. We send it to all of our clients and everything. And so each value or each story, each person is represented by a story of something that they've done that elevated them into our Values Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
We don't publish it in the book, but at our quarterly gatherings, when our entire team gets together, we will occasionally share anti-value stories. And an example would be when we had this young woman who was a really great worker. She just killed it. We have a beautiful space in our building, in one of our headquarters buildings. We have a slide that goes from the second floor down to the first floor into this beautiful stage, and all kinds of toys and things that makes it a really fun.
Can anybody stop by and ride the slide?
Anyone,
I'm in.
You should definitely come by and ride the slide.
I love slides, man. It gets me back in touch with my childhood.
When we opened this building like 14, 15 years ago, the president of our Chamber of Commerce came out, and she was this remarkable, like, moxie. She's just an amazing woman. And she had on this little polyester skirt, and she insisted on going down the slide. We kept telling her, maybe you should take the stairs. She said, I'm doing it. She hit the end of the slide, flew out 4 feet, landed on her butt, and then bounced on the concrete all the way up to our stage. I thought we killed our
team. Awesome to see.
It was a lot of fun, though. We had a good time with that. But the point being, our employees are given access to this space. So any of our team members can reserve our spaces to use for birthday parties, for graduation parties, for whatever they have going on. And there was this woman that reserved the space for a club that she was working on. I think it was a cooking club where they had used our kitchen and they were having this meal. And one of our other employees happened to come. This was like a Saturday night at 7 p.m. He happened to walk in to check on something. And when he came through the door, he saw that there was a man that was with this group on a skateboard going down our slide, landing in a
pile. On a skateboard.
Yeah, he was lying down stomach on a skateboard, going down the slide, landing in a pile of pillows that they'd taken off the couches. And the fellow employee went over to her because he knew that she was the one that was reserving the space and said, you might want to ask them to stop doing that. And she said, I'm sorry. And so she asked him to stop, and he went on about this thing. He was just a coworker. He wasn't a manager or anything. He came back around the corner an hour later as he was leaving after he finished whatever project he was working on, and they were back at it again. And so, of course, we had a talk with her the next day, and within 2 weeks, she went on a PIP, and then she was dismissed. She's no longer working here because she just didn't value our space. It was like being disrespectful to our space. And everybody knows you can't go face first on a skateboard down a slide on concrete and not expect injuries to happen. So it was really putting our company at risk by allowing them to do that.
So she didn't give a shit.
She didn't give a shit. That's one of the stories that we share about the anti-value of giving a shit.
Yeah, that's a great story. Shoot. So then we already talked a little bit about the anti-values, I think, are super powerful. And I think that's a really good tool. Anything else you guys do?
I think the other major thing that we've done for more than 15 years that is the thing that I think we're most known for now is our daily stand-up. For more than 15 years, we had a meeting every business day. So Monday through Friday, every day at 11:11 a.m., we have an 11-minute meeting. It used to be physically present. We had all of our facilities and people would go and stand in the same area and there'd be a stand-up meeting with the whiteboard. But after COVID, we restructured the meeting and we have little viewing areas in all of our facilities. People just walk up and stand in front of a monitor. They automatically pop on at 11:11. The meeting starts. There's a host that runs the meeting. They can be at any one of the three locations where we have a viewing area, or they can be online on Zoom. And all of our employees, no matter where they are participating in this meeting. And in the 11 minutes, it never runs long, by the way. The technology actually shuts down after 12 minutes. So people can ruminate and stand around just a little bit, but it shuts down completely. But in that 11 minutes, we do shout outs. So we're giving everyone recognition for living our values. I'd like to put Rick on the board for having my back yesterday. This is what he did as an example.
See, that's so powerful.
Every single day we do this. We give headline updates. This is what's going on in all the teams. We finish with, we call it the fire starter meeting. We finish with a cheer, the pyromaniac at the end. And so every team member in our organization takes a turn running the meeting, and every person takes a turn finishing the meeting. So at the end, they'll say, we're going to finish today. I'm going to count down from three, and everybody's going to say X, Y, Z at the end. And so we kind of finish with a cheer, and everybody has to come up with their own thing. It's really funny and a great time. It keeps everybody on the same page at all times. Everyone in the company knows what's going on at all times. It's the ultimate communication tool for us.
I want to point out something really quickly. How long have you been running core values in your companies?
The current set of core values came at the same time.
Just from the start of business.
Yeah,
how many?
from 1992, when we started our business, until about 2007, we didn't have core values.
Okay.
So 2007 is when we really came up with core values for the first time.
Okay. Got it. So this is what happens. Like, I'm just going to point out the obvious. You've been running core values a lot longer than I have. You have all your hair. I just started a few years ago.
This is what happens.
So if you want to keep your hair, adopt core values early.
Start your core values now.
Exactly. All right, cool. So give us two or three key takeaways you can give the audience that can plug into their business today.
One thing I would say as it relates to core values is to make sure that your team, especially if you're activating core values and you're bringing core values into the equation and as an operating business, if you're already going, include your team. I have an activity, we call it the reality show, where you bring together your employees. You can have 10, you can have 100, and you can break them up into groups, but you bring them together. You say, here's the premise. We need to choose one of our coworkers to go on a reality show. Who are we going to pick? And so everybody writes a name down, and then you say, okay, now that name you wrote down, why did you write Rick's name down? What are words or attributes that come to mind when you think of Rick? And then they write down, he's this, he's that. And then we put all those on the board. We combine, kill, keep. We do a stack ranking. It's a really amazing process to establish or to reestablish core values, because then you can really hone in on what it is that people really value, not what the owner or the founders value.
Yeah, and hopefully you're not that train wreck candidate on the show, like the one who's just there to blow everything up.
And that all gets taken out with the trash when you're doing the stack ranking. So it's all good.
Very true. Jay, thanks so much for your time and investment today. And I want to welcome you to the Higher Power Radio community. Now, what would be the best way in which members of our audience could find you, find your company, and they might be able to reach out to you?
To find out the work that we're doing, and also to participate in the conversations that are going on. The Do More Good movement exists specifically to empower and amplify companies and their leaders who are doing good in this world. It is the answer to the problems that capitalism has today. And just go to domoregood.com. And if you're so inclined, attend our conference. It's coming up on April 11th. There's a virtual option that has a multiple camera and with personal interviews with all the speakers. It's a really fantastic way to digest the content of the Do More Good movement.
Yeah, and if you need somebody there to run some podcasts, let me know.
Perfect.
All right. I want to thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Higher Power. Quick thanks to our team, Andrea Ballin and Ayla Gerard. Please subscribe, review, and share the podcast. This is our first one in about a year and a half, and we want to make sure that we're providing valuable feedback to you, the listener. You can join the Higher Power Radio community at HIRE Power, POWER, radio, RADIO.com. Or you can drop me an email at rick@intertrue.ai. Tune in next week. Our guest is going to be Jason Lippert. Jason is the president and CEO of Lippert Components. I'm your host, Rick Gerard, and you have been listening to the Higher Power Radio Show. Aloha.
Thank you for listening to Higher Power Radio. Catch our LinkedIn Live show every Tuesday at noon, or download the podcast on iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. We appreciate you joining us on Higher Power Radio with your guide to hiring success, Rick Gerard.